Hey friends, welcome to my daily update video and Happy New Year. I think it's the first video I've made in 2023. So I hope you're having a good day. It is a grey, rainy day here in Massachusetts. Rain is coming down. Today is Tuesday. I've been to the gym and about to go and work in a cafe, have a few meetings there. I get a bunch of stuff done, so all is good. Hey, I'm going to be in the UK ministering next week. I'll be in the Northwest, Liverpool, Preston, North Wales, no, Mid Wales actually, and also in London town. So love to connect with any of my British friends there. And I have some new announcements. I'm a bit delayed with this, but coming out on my ministry school soon. So check out all the links there below. Lastly, if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, podcast, weekly email, again, all the links are on the below. Good. Hey, let me share something real quick with you guys today. But I was thinking about this in the gym today, this morning, and really about the finished works of Christ. When I look back at my early Christian life, I was thinking about this. I remember at times being really frustrated, and really being frustrated in terms of how to receive from God. It always seemed like a bit of a mystery to me. How do we get God to do things? And, you know, as a young Christian, I was about 14 when I gave my life to the Lord. So 14, 15, 16. My local church was probably about 3-4 miles away. And I had a bicycle at the time, so I'd often be bicycling down to my church. And I remember bike rides, you know, probably take half an hour, 40 minutes, something like that, lots of hills. And I remember just thinking and exploring in my mind and trying to figure out, how do you get God to answer your prayers? How do you get God to do things? And why doesn't God always answer prayers? And all of these questions. And now years later, I see people that age, and frankly, 2 or 3 or 4 times that age, still struggling with those same things. And one of the greatest keys I've ever learned, one thing that really flipped everything in my life, I tend to look at everything in God through this lens, is God has already done everything he needs to do. And there's a little verse I love in John 19, verse 30. It's really the last thing Jesus said, in a sense, as the Son of Man before he died, and then of course he's resurrected and he's the eternal Son of God. But the last thing Jesus said is, "It is finished." Yeah, it is finished. Obviously, he was saying the suffering, everything he had to go through on the cross is finished. But what he's actually saying is everything, all things pertaining to life and godliness, everything you and I will ever need, everything we'll ever desire, everything God has provided for us was finished on the cross of Calvary. It is finished. And if you notice carefully as you read through the New Testament, the epistles, all of the epistles are the written, Paul's writing in the now, I'm here, I'm going to do this. But when he talks about who we are in Christ and what we have, it's always in the past accomplished sense. You have been raised in heavenly places. You, he has blessed. Isaiah looks forward to the cross prophetically and says, by his stripes we're healed. Peter looks back in 1 Peter 2:24, says, by whose stripes you were healed. And everything was done at the cross. Andrew Womack has a great book and teaching series called You've Already Got It. You've Already Got It. And, you know, it's easy for people to pay lip service to that, but you are not waiting for God to heal you. You are not waiting for God to give you victory. You're not waiting for God to make you righteous. What tends to happen is evangelicals tend to push off the victory, the joy, the benefit, if you will, of Calvary into some eschatological future. They'll say, yes, we'll live in victory. Yes, we'll live in joy. Yes, we'll be overcomers when Jesus comes or calls. When you die and go to heaven, so the story, then you'll step into the fullness of those things. Or when Jesus comes back, then the lion will lay down with the lamb and the kingdom of God will take over the kingdom of the world. And of course, those things are true, but we don't have to wait for those things. And the deliverance, if you will, the blessing, the things that God has for us aren't waiting for a future date. God will not bless you tomorrow. God will not bless you today. God has already blessed you in Christ. And when we realize that our challenge is not to get God to do anything, our challenge is not to persuade God to do anything. Our challenge isn't to figure out how we can maneuver and God, you know, earn enough brownie points to persuade God to do something. God has done everything he ever needs to do. What is our part? Our part is really simple. Number one, we actually need to know about it. That's why Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. If you were in a prison cell right now and the door was unlocked, but you didn't know that the door was unlocked, you could stay in that prison cell writing letters to your, you know, your member of parliament, your state senator. You could send out petitions by mail, email. You could beg and plead the governor all your life long, and yet the door is unlocked. So number one, you need to know about that. Number two, Satan is a liar. Let me say that again. Satan is a liar, and he wants to keep you locked in the prison, locked on the plantation, if you will, of sin and shame. And the victory, Jesus has paid for that victory for us, but it won't come automatically. It won't simply because it's yours in heaven. It won't drop on your head like a cherry from a tree. And our part is, number one, to learn about these things, to come to God's word. Number two, to take that word and hold it. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, keep them before your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. The life to those who find them, and health or healing to all of your flesh. So if I were, let's say I'm experiencing defeat in a part of my life, I can go to the Bible and see what it says, number one. Number two, I've got to take that and make it mine. Thank you, Lord, I am born of God. I overcome the world. This is the victory which overcomes the world, even my faith. I've got to stand on that. I've got to act upon that, that word. Not try and produce that victory in my own strength, my own work, but actually act like that overcomer and renew my mind to that and say, thank you, Lord, I'm completely free. I've been set free. I have been set free. Years ago when I came to the Lord, I used to smoke cigarettes. I'm not condemning you if you smoke cigarettes, but maybe not the best habit in the world. And, you know, I smoked a packet of cigarettes a day, and I felt guilty and shameful, and yet I couldn't give up. And a lovely brother once came to me a few weeks after becoming a Christian. He said, Graham, stop trying to stop smoking. And he told me to do this. He said, Graham, smoke all you want. But he said, I want you to do this. Every time you light up a cigarette, I want you to pause for a moment. And he gave me two or three Bible verses. The main one was Romans 8 verse 2, which says the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. And he said, every time you light up a cigarette, I want you to just pause for a moment and say, thank you, Jesus. The law of the spirit of life in Jesus sets me free from the law of sin and death. Because he said, Graham, your physical addiction, psychological addiction, whatever you will, to nicotine, it comes under the law of sin and death. And Jesus took that and nailed that very habit, the power, the driving impulse behind it to the cross. He said, you've been set free. And he said, just keep saying that. Not like they're magical words like a parrot, but actually saying, Lord, I thank you. You set me free from the law of sin and death. And I would do that. You know, thank you, Jesus. You set me free from the law of sin and death. You know, 20 times a day, as every time I smoked. I can't tell you when I stopped smoking. I think it was about 5 or 6 days later. I don't think I actually noticed till about 2 weeks later. Oh, I haven't had a cigarette. And, you know, I didn't do any big dramatic action, throw them in the trash and go and collect them half an hour later. It just fell off me like a dead leaf off of a tree. Now, I didn't get set free because I said a Bible verse. I got set free when Jesus died on the cross. What I did in engaging my heart with that verse was take that victory that had been finished on the cross of Calvary and appropriated it in the now. And you can do the same. And I want to encourage you, all of your great New Year's resolutions. I mean, awesome. My gym is very full this week, but it'll be a little bit less full next week. And by the end of January, it'll be back to normal. Here's my point. You won't get there by willpower. You'll get there by the power of God. The grace of God will produce in your life what Jesus accomplished on Calvary and the word you hold in your heart. Selah. Boom. Hope that's a help to you guys. Again, check out some of those links below. Drop me a line. Let me know if I can pray for you. I'd really love to hear from you guys and look forward to seeing you soon in the plan of the Lord. Bye for now.